This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're coming off another banger of a night in the NBA and NHL postseason. So much to get to as we welcome you into this Friday edition of Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network. Alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We're live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. And I'm not going to lie to you, JVT, I'm a little bit tired this morning. But that's what espresso is for. And
right.
So we'll be fine.
Yes. You watched me. I pounded an energy drink right before we came on here. We are flying, I think, on all cylinders right now. So today's going to be great. Unlike what we're seeing in the Kentucky Derby. It's very sad news.
Yes. One of many items that we're going to get to here on the rundown as we set the table for what's to come on Money Moves. So let's run it down, shall we?
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is the rundown.
Another Derby stretch coming up in 15 minutes. We're going to talk through the Kentucky Derby, the Run for the Roses coming up tomorrow. All that need to know info. But the field is down to just 19 horses now. JVT's two scratches in the last 24 hours, including Bob Baffert's Rodriguez.
Yeah, and there seems to be a lot of shock being expressed by the Grande folks about the scratch. Owner was, quote, shocked about this, the process in which it happened. So there seems to be some sort of disagreement about the health status and the the way in which they are evaluating these horses at the track and why they're deeming them able to be scratched. But it doesn't sound like everybody's happy about this.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the interesting part about this. But regardless, down to 19. Can't wait to see what that means. But it does seem like there are those in that party that at least think that this should not have happened.
Yes, we will get into all of that, as well as a full MLB card today and the best two words in sports. Say it with me. Game seven.
There's better game sevens. You're right. The Avalanche and Star Series. So I'll be excited for that. But Clippers at least survive and force a game seven this weekend.
You would be excited. That's going to be an awesome game coming up.
Let me see.
1-point spread.
Let me see. Hold
Winner
on.
Winner take all.
I'm going to read a tweet for you, or I'm going to read a text I sent yesterday. Somebody texted me, said, can they please open the Nuggets favorite in game seven? I responded, they're a bunch of dumbasses. Don't trust them at all. We watched at the end of that game yesterday. We can get into more of it, but like they went to like prevent shell offense and all of a sudden gave up a big lead. They had to sweat that thing out and barely survive. They figured some things out with Nick Batum, but this is not a team at this point right now that I would trust to go on the road against Denver and win a game seven. We will see. I've obviously been wrong many times before, but not looking forward to the Clippers extending this out and having to play on an environment against a team that has done it before.
Yeah. You also mentioned Av Stars. That'll be a fun game seven. RIP Colin Blackwell, who ended up having his own puck go in his own net that goes to be the go-ahead goal in what was a crazy game in Av Stars. And with that in mind, so we had six elimination games on Thursday. Those obviously series continue, but it is about surviving and advancing. And we'll discuss throughout the course of the show some updated series prices for round two series that are already set. The Golden Knights game that I was at yesterday, they advanced to round two. They're facing the Oilers, who scored six goals on the Kings last night. McDavid and Draisaitl, by the way, combined for 1 point, and you still can't beat them. But so there goes that series bet that I loved on Los Angeles. Congrats to the Toronto Maple Leafs, who finally win a second closeout series in the last 20 years. And then the Knicks finish the job against the Pistons, which is where we're going to start here. And you make that scoff sound. It is another close game, another game that the Pistons could have won, yet they don't.
Another win for the road team in that series as well, right? So we saw the last five games of that series, the road team won every single one of them. So home court advantage did not matter in that series whatsoever. I scoff because one could argue a small push off from Jalen Brunson to hit a game-winning three at the end of that contest. But regardless, to use the term, to use the cliche, the Knicks survive in advance. And now they get to take on a Boston Celtics team that I think is built to wipe the floor with them. The Celtics are massive favorites in that regard. But you just do wonder. I mean, look, you barely got by a Pistons team that was making its debut, at least this iteration of the Pistons, in the postseason. You were fighting and scrapping tooth and nail. Every game went to clutch time, essentially. It was an absolute grinder for you over the course of six games. Do you have enough against the Boston Celtics, who are going to be sitting back, getting some time off? Series doesn't start until Monday, so I'm going to be very interested, obviously, in that series. But I saw a lot of shock being expressed at the series price. I think that is accurate.
I was one of them. We were sitting up there before the show, and I said, the Celtics are $8? And like, yeah, sounds about right.
Yep, It should be. I mean, they have the ability to sweep this Knicks team. It's a nightmare matchup for them, especially if they're going to be fully healthy. They've got the defensive pieces to guard Jalen Brunson. They are very big. They're switchable. They can shoot threes. They can go after these guys. There's so much lineup versatility with them. And they're just much deeper, as we know at this point right now, too. Regular season series is very much in the Celtics' favor, and I think that is going to translate here to the postseason, especially now that they got those extra days off. They were really beat up in the Magic series. Still 1-5. And then here they are now, rested and ready to go to take on the Knicks on Monday.
Yeah, and no shade to the Pistons, but one of these things is not like the other when it comes to the Pistons and the Boston Celtics. And you celebrate Detroit for what they were able to do this season, especially after last year and making it to this point very easily. Could have won this series. Obviously, they end up on the other side of it. The headline last night, though, was Brunson. Clutch player of the year for a reason. He puts up 40, 7 assists, and the game winner, the crossover three with about 4 seconds left. How impressive was he to you?
I mean, he was great. I will say I'm still not a fan of like the foul hunting almost every single possession, but he was great in this series. It was incredible how easily he gets to his spots and how he can go after it. But the difference is when you're talking about, you know, Asar Thompson's a good defender or Dennis Schroeder, those are not the same, to use your point. There's levels to this. So now in the next round, when you're going against Derek White and Drew Holiday, if he's healthy, those are going to be the things I think really you're not going to be able to go and drop 44-7 on 15-32 shooting against a team like the Celtics. But Brunson was great. And again, you talk about health. I don't think this team's healthy. I don't think Brunson's healthy. And yet he continued every single night to go out there and get this thing done. A really tight series overall. Net rating all within about like 2 points or so for the course of 6 games. So I was really impressed. And like you said, too, clutch time, it really went in their favor. They went into last night with a negative net rating in clutch time and ended up getting it done. Despite the fact that they almost blew it, too. That was the other thing. I thought they were going to blow them out. And then, of course, they have to survive themselves.
Yes, So with that, I look at the other game of the night that I know you don't want to talk about, but the Clippers win 111-105. Yep. You thought they could win. You had questions about the cover, though, and depending on the number you
got. How about that missed free throw, huh?
Yes. So mostly a push because we saw a lot of sixes out there, but if anybody had the 6.5, that was the consensus number, at least when we were on the show yesterday. It's a tough one, tough loss.
Make sure you bring it up to Will Hill when we have him. I'll just put it that way.
Oh, no.
So here's a couple of things, right? First off, what we talked about yesterday ended up nailing it in terms of the changes the Clippers were going to make. I brought up the Chris Dunn prop unders. Dunn got benched in the second half, didn't play a minute in the second half. He played 7 minutes in the first half, I don't even think that, and ended up not playing the rest of the way. They go and they really lean on Nick Batum. How about a nifty stat from yesterday? 6 shot attempts off of a Nick Batum pass. They were 6 for 6. Batum is he's an incredible player. He is versatile. He can guard 1 through 5. He guarded Jamal Murray for over 20 possessions in that game. He guarded Nikola Jokic over 15 possessions in that game. He is going to be the key for this Clippers team going into Game 7. And it does speak to where the Clippers were at. You know, the Clippers just have more levers to pull if you're Ty Lue. You can go and you can bench Ben Simmons. You can bench Chris Dunn. You can bring in Nick Batum. You can rely on those guys. You can lean on Derek Jones Jr. defensively. You can change the way that you're going to roll your lineups out there. There's a little bit more depth. There's not that many pieces for the Nuggets. There's not that many things that Rick Adelman can pull here to go after it. But I thought it was an incredible performance from Ty Lue, from a coaching standpoint, making those adjustments, and we'll see if they can pull it off. But how about this number? In this series, with Nick Batum on the floor, the Los Angeles Clippers have a plus 12 net rating and an offensive rating of 121.9 that ranks in the 90th percentile. They've been great with Batum out there, and I would expect that he starts in this next game on Saturday.
You know the number I thought you were going to say? 47. As in the minutes that James Harden played last night. How much did that surprise you? 28 points from him. And by the way, we talked about that Kawhi Leonard prop and how it had been, it had shifted from being 27.5, 26.5 to 24.5. He goes over that number with 27. Could have been more, but a lot of missed threes from Kawhi. But how about Harden?
Yeah, well, the Harden thing is interesting too, because they had it on the broadcast. You were busy. But in his career games, I think it's like 5 through 7, the points, the scoring just drops off a cliff. You know, the efficiency drops off a cliff. He is, rightfully so, heavily criticized because of his lack of showing up late in series in the postseason. And then all of a sudden you go out there and you get it done. Part of that, too, is the adjustment. You know, when you're playing on the floor, James Harden, that is, with Chris Dunn, Well, you know what the Nuggets are doing? They're bringing Chris Dunn's defender off of him, and they're blitzing James Harden. They're trapping him. Every time he catches the ball, he's seeing two guys. Now, all of a sudden, when it's Nick Batum as opposed to Chris Dunn, well, I can't blitz off of him because guess what? Batum is good enough. He can attack closeouts. He can hit open threes. He's going to make the right pass. So now you have to stay at home, and it allows Harden to attack one-on-one matchups. It allows him to do what he does best in isolation, and that changed everything, I thought, for Harden yesterday. So you saw that adjustment late in the game, and it really started to open up for him. They made that adjustment really in the second quarter, and of course he has a monster second quarter against him too. So Harden was it was a very pleasant surprise. How about this statistic? I'm going to get this for you. Kawhi Leonard's last three elimination games. Now, the first two go back to 2021. 27 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 50% shooting. 28 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists, 66% shooting. 45 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 72% shooting. Clippers are 3-0 in those games. You got one more on Saturday.
There we go. And the spread, 1-point spread right now. Clippers getting one in Denver, total 205. We'll discuss that a little bit more later. Same thing with the game that we have upcoming tonight. Warriors-Rockets, potential closeout game there for Golden State. Warriors laying 5, total 207.5. And by the way, right now up on VSiN.com, we've got full breakdowns of that game, best bets that are going to be coming in throughout the course of the day. Zach Cohen's got his NBA article and player props that will come out. Jonathan Davis with the NHL picks as the postseason rolls on, and Steve Mackinnon's MLB analytics report. If you are a VSiN Pro subscriber right now, you get access to all of it as a part of your regular subscription. Plus, right now, you get 14 months for just $199 when you use our promo code PRO, VSiN.com/subscribe. And also, the Kentucky Derby betting guide is going to be a part of that, which we will discuss coming up next here on Money Moves. We'll discuss a little bit more of those scratches. And have you made a bet?
No, I haven't, but I will say more important things might be at stake here when we come back.
Oh.
Derek Stevens has tweeted something out that I think that we should get to.
Dun, dun, dun. That's a tease, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a quick timeout. We're just getting started here on Money Moves. Stick around. More VSiN after this.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NFL draft is in the rear view. Teams are taking shape. Team schedules coming out later this month, which means, yes, it is already time to start thinking about football season. I mean, we were on the show earlier this week talking about rookie props, rookie of the year awards, all of that good stuff. And with that in mind, us being here at Circa Resort and Casino, no place better to be involved in a football contest than here. And every year, Derek Stevens and the crew puts out a little commercial series, teasers for the real commercial, trying to find out what the guarantee is. And a little birdie told me that you are involved in this project this year.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, I may or may not have had a speaking role in the commercial.
An actor.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm excited.
This is my last show, to be honest with you. I'm leaving to pursue my career.
That checks. Yeah. Moving to LA?
Yeah. Of course.
So you can watch the Clippers in person.
Abandoning my family and pursuing greatness. Yeah.
Well, I'm so excited. Let's throw this out there. This teaser just dropped on X moments ago. So Jonathan Von Tobel in his acting debut.
Oh, look. Wow, look at that.
Derek, what's the guarantee? Derek?
Time to make history. Millions are calling. Look for the Circa Million and Circa Survivor Guarantee on May 22nd, 2025. Two ways
all
to
right.
win.
Less than
Millions
a month
guarantee.
Away.
100% payback.
Wow. Wow. Just brilliant.
Amazing.
You know, my character's motivation. Derek was, we were all having drinks, and Derek, of course, there's a light that shines in the sky, much like Batman, and as I'm chatting with my best friend Derek, he disappears, and I'm just so very confused. Derek, I have no idea about the second life that he leads, and sure enough, he's gone, so that was my motivation.
It was very cleverly done. I honestly didn't realize at first, it took me a second to have it check in my brain that it was Mike Palm that was out there on the roof.
Yes, he was flashing the light. Yeah, turning the light on. so we could talk to Mike about that when he joins us later. But there was a you know, I will say this, Acting is a, I don't know if you know this, you probably don't. Acting is a cutthroat business.
Oh,
and there was a debate on the top of Legacy Club that day, who would have the speaking line. And Tim Murray, who has already had a speaking line in a commercial, which I hear didn't go that well, he wanted it, but they chose me instead. Oh. So that is the cutthroat nature of Hollywood, you know?
Sometimes that's just how the cookie crumbles, Tim.
Yep.
You're what do they call it on the call sheet? You're like number one on the call sheet.
That's right.
Was that you?
Yep.
Yes, during the filming process.
I was demanding a trailer.
How many takes did it take?
A lot. I don't know. I think, how long were we up there? So I think the shoot started at like 9:30, and I think I left. Now, I will say I hung at Legacy Club with John Murray of the Westgate and whatnot afterward for a little bit, but I think I ended up leaving at like, you know, just after midnight or something like that.
Yeah, there are worse places to have to hang out,
yes,
for sure.
Yes. So it was great. It was a lot of fun. I'm happy to be part of it and very much looking forward to what the guarantee is. Are you a White Lotus fan?
I am, yes.
Okay, so apparently I don't watch the show, but apparently did they do something where they filmed like different endings so then the actors didn't know what the actual ending was going to be?
I'm not that deep in the weeds.
Okay,
I don't know if that's true.
Because that night they were talking about that. But the whole point is, so I was told a number while we were filming, like how much the guarantee was. But then Derek goes, actually might not be the number.
Oh, wow.
So like I have a number in my head. It might not actually be it. So I'll be very interested to see what the actual guarantee is.
Well, and he said that in that commercial, making history, yep, every year they have upped that guarantee. And last year, $14.2 million for the Circus Survivor competition, which anybody who's new to listening to VSiN or new to sports betting, Survivor, each and every week during the NFL season, you pick one team just to win. You can't repeat using that team throughout the course of the season. And at the end of this thing, yep, and there are some specialty weeks as well, Thanksgiving, Christmas, things like that. But at the end of this thing, so winner take all, or you split the prize with the people that are at the end of this thing, and it's massive money that these people can win.
I am very excited. Are we going to do a team entry? Are we going to do a show entry?
I would love that, actually. That would be fun.
Let's do a show entry then, so we can have that ready to go and fire away and eventually win and then leave.
I was in the What's the Guarantee commercial a couple years ago, and I got to go on the zip line on Slotzilla.
Haven't you been at multiple?
And I screamed it. Yeah, but my cameo last year wasn't very good.
What was last year?
I was just walking up to a bar, getting a drink, and saying, hey, Derek. But my acting debut was on a zip line. I had to be an action star. I was like Tom Cruise doing my own stunts.
Yes. Okay. I remember that one. I don't remember last year's.
But then I think they just wanted me to tone it down ever since. So it is what it is. Mm. Let's get into the Kentucky Derby a little bit from football to horse racing, because that's a natural smooth transition. But we were talking about it earlier. Obviously, there are a couple of marquee scratches that have come through. Bob Baffert, who's making his return to the event for the first time since 2021 after the suspension, had to scratch his top contending horse in the race yesterday, Rodriguez, for what reports have called a small but sensitive foot bruise. And then this morning, the number 10 horse Grande also out with a cracked heel. And you mentioned it, the owner's not particularly happy about this. I guess he took x-rays and a PET scan and they came back cleaned, but the vet said that no, this horse needs to be scratched.
Yeah. So that's what I think is, we're obviously down to 19. The drama there is also pretty interesting just because there seems to be this difference. But what it means for the field, and now that there's one less horse out there, is obviously, to me, at the top of mind. And some of these other horses are really interesting. You know, for example, American Promise seems to be a horse that is very polarizing in the thoughts around it. There are some that I think I was listening to Mike Somich yesterday with Gil Alexander on a numbers game, and he made the point of like he was going to try to talk Drew Dinsick off of American Promise on the show that they have. You can check that up at YouTube. But the guys like that, horses like that, and what we're seeing here in this field. By the way, we should note that our Derby guide is updated. So like you go and download it, it's a PDF. It is updated with all these scratches,
awesome,
so you can get that with there. But the different opinions on some of these horses are pretty interesting. And the favorite too, Journalism, having been undefeated since his debut loss. But having said that, you talk about the fact that it hasn't been in a field like this is going to be very, very interesting as well, considering there seems to be a lot of faith in Journalism at the top here.
Yeah, 19 horses compared to 6 is a little bit different, yep, needless to say. Also worth noting, with Rodriguez and Grande out, Baeza is the next horse up. And you said it, just running with 19 horses. And So he gets into the race. He finished second to Journalism in California last time. He's a very lightly raced horse. And I've heard some people say, including Eddie Olchek, who's part of the NBC broadcasting family for the Kentucky Derby, that even before it was official that he was in the race, that if horses get scratched and the number 21 horse gets in there, he is somebody that I think could be worth a look. So if you're trying to do those trifecta boxes and pair up a favorite with a longer shot, you want one of those double digit plays in there, potentially the horse that wasn't even in the original field could be a dangerous play.
Yeah, like the Rich Strike thing from a few years back. And that was echoed too in our article up on the web, or should be up in the guide too. When you're looking at it, I think it was Dave Tooley who wrote about this, and just essentially, like, Baeza even notes here, like, don't sleep on the also eligible horse Baeza. You got to have another scratch from the race to draw him in. But like as Dave said, like nearly everyone did 3 years ago in 2022 with Rich Strike, Baeza didn't earn enough in the prep races, but he could be a horse that is very much worth looking at here and worth adding. So I'm very interested in that regard, too, because the narrative of a horse coming in and being able to win this thing, because there seems to be some faith in that as well, that Baez is going to be a horse worth looking at.
Unfortunately, unlike Rich Strike, where you're getting 80-1 to 150-1, we're only getting around 12-1 on the price here. But still, it's definitely worth noting. And as I mentioned yesterday, too, there was a time where there was a string of a lot of favorites that were winning year after year after year. That hasn't been the case the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. None of the winners, in fact, over the last six were shorter than 8-1 odds. Three were at least 15-1. So it's one of those things where it's like, do I want to follow that trend and pick a, stay away from Journalism and stay away from a favorite? Or is this the year where we get back on track with that? I have heard nothing but positive things about Journalism.
Right.
So I feel like, no matter what I do, even if it's not to win and you want to box a bet, and maybe this is a good time to get into kind of some of that Derby 101 for anybody who's new to horse racing here. There are a lot of different types bets you can do. Oh, see, this is in the guide as well. So, but win, your horse needs to win. It's kind of obvious. Mm-hmm. Place, your horse needs to finish in second. Show, your horse finishes in second or third. You can do win, place, and show, three separate bets. And then exacta, you want to do those two horses that finish first and second in the exact order, trifecta. Three, first, second, third in the exact order, or box where you can mix them all up. So just those three horses, and it doesn't matter what order they come in. So that's what I kind of like. If you want to mix Journalism in, but you're not particularly confident that they're going to win, but you know, based on all of the handicaps, that they're one of the best horses in the field and they should win or come out in the top three. That's an angle.
I'm going to look back and see. Yes. Okay. So the only times I have ever won a Kentucky Derby bet, it was 2018 when Justify was like a -200 favorite to win that thing, and I used him in a lot of different things. I remember it was actually in our early days over at the South Point, where I had Vinny Maiulo write down on a piece of paper, what am I supposed to say when I get to the window? And he's like, all right, do this, this, and this. I'm like, all right, cool, you got it. And I went, and it worked out. And then as we have discussed as well, I'm Adina Spirit many years ago, so let's do this thing. Come on now.
Did any names call to you?
In the field right now, nothing real. I think this is a very weak field when it comes to names. I'm just going to go out there. There are not that many outside of Render Judgment, which sounds very dark and mysterious. I was not impressed with the field when it comes to names this year. I'm just going to say it. And I think I'm not the only one that thinks that.
I kind of liked Chunk of Gold.
Yeah.
30-1. Maybe that could be a long shot that I throw in there.
Tastic works too.
That's a fun one. You mentioned the Kentucky Derby betting guide, though. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you already have it. But if you're not yet, this is the only way to get it. Get your last minute fix on how to bet the Derby from our people that are in tune to everything, how post position can affect different things, race history, weather concerns, all of that up at vsin.com/subscribe today. We're going to take a quick timeout. Will Hill joins us next to get his best bets for the day.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158. Jonathan Von Tobel and Stormy Bonantoni with you. Excited to welcome in our good friend to the show, Will Hill, here on the Progressive Guest Line, host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, VSiN contributor. Lots to get to tonight in the NBA with another potential closeout game here, Will, as well as plenty of NBA series now that are wrapped and figuring out series prices moving forward. What did you think of last night's action, first and foremost?
Knicks Pistons was a strange one, just a strange series in general for a team to lose 4-2. And really feel like I bet the Pistons in six at 9-1 and 12-1. I felt like I deserved better. It felt like it looked like Detroit was going to win last night. And I was thinking, man, I should be cashing this ticket. So they had all the earmarkings. You always hear this cliche in the playoffs. You got to take your lumps. You got to crawl before you can walk, walk before you can run. Detroit just couldn't handle the pressure and close out moments. I mean, that was, again, a strange game because the Knicks blew multiple 10-point leads, up 11 with like 7-8 minutes to go, then down 7 with 2 minutes to go and win in regulation. That was very daring by Brunson to make that shot. And if he had missed to leave Detroit time on the clock, they could have ran the clock down more than they had it and settled for the last shot, which they didn't. And also strange, the Knicks won game one at home, and then the road team won 5 in a row. So I'm going to have to recalibrate maybe how we look at home court advantage. I know it's only one series, but I think just me personally, sometimes I overrate the home court advantages. So tough one for Detroit. Good series overall. I don't know how live the Knicks are here against the Celtics. This feels like, it's both conference finals in the East, 5-6, and we'll get to Cavs Pacers here in a minute. But I think Detroit deserved better. Detroit backers deserve better, but that's just part of backing a young team. And then Clippers Nuggets, about what we expected. I think the Clippers took the air out of the ball a little bit late and just held on for dear life. That was a tough beat if you had the Clippers, that missed free throw. That's why getting the best number matters. But I was surprised, and we'll get to this game here. I was surprised Denver played Jokic 42 minutes a game. Fourth quarter, they're down 14, 15 points. If that was me, I mean, get him off the court. He's played so many minutes. Zubats is wearing him out. You weren't winning that game. I was surprised they left him out there as long as they did.
The trade for Zubats, maybe one of the most underrated deals of all time.
Oh, stop. This is a betting show. We have lines to talk about. For those that don't know, I'm a Lakers fan, and that was he's just sticking it to me, salt in the wound. Terrible. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible trade. It was a terrible trade at the time. It made no sense, but yes,
they awful, flipped Mike Muscala for Ivica Zubac. Yeah, many years ago. All right, so then let's spin this forward. Game seven, what do you think? What do you think of the Clippers' chances? What do you think of this total? I'm surprised. Usually we see one-way direction to the under. We saw a little bit, Will, but it has kind of stopped here and in fact, inched back up in some spots.
Yeah, I would still play under. I think it'll be close. I think it'll just be a grimy, slow, lower-scoring game. I think these two teams, have a feel for each other. Again, we're talking about every other day now, so legs, fatigue become an issue. I would lean towards the Clippers just because I'm betting the Clippers. First off, I bet Denver in seven before the series at plus 375. So part of it's a hedge. Part of it is I just think the Clippers, at the end of the day, have more upside. You've gotten a couple of really good Westbrook games in a row. Can you count on that in game seven? I know the last time these teams met in Denver, it was a Denver runaway, but that was Denver 17 of 33 from three, and Denver shot really well on long twos. That was an outlier shooting performance from Denver. So, look, it's Jokic. They're home. Would I be shocked if Denver won? How could you be? Would you be shocked if, Kawhi, or really more Harden, had one of his no-shows in the playoffs, which he was great last night. The disparity between his good games and his bad games is one of the strangest things for a really good player. So I'm not going to be shocked by anything. I wouldn't expect a blowout by either team. I would expect a close game. I'll go with the Clippers, and I like the under. Again, it would make me nervous from Denver's standpoint. Just the legs, the fatigue. How much does Jokic have left in the tank now playing every other day? You're flying across the country. You lose an hour there going from L.A. to Denver. And really playing him 42 minutes in game six was something. Man, that was, I won't say a mistake because he knows his team, I think, and Jokic, I guess, can handle it. But I was surprised he left him in there as much as he did. So I like the under. I'll go with the Clippers. I'm not going to come on your new show, JVT, and disrespect you and pick the Nuggets. I'm gonna root for your Clippers for you. And I think Clippers Thunder would be the better series. I don't know that Denver just has enough answers for OKC. So Clippers and under. You feel good? You feeling confident?
Oh, no, not at all. I don't really trust them in any way, shape, or form. Now, I will say I mentioned this to Stormy. You mentioned the Harden no-shows late in the postseason. I think one of the things they did yesterday was bench Chris Dunn, and that opened up the spacing a ton for him, and that allows Harden to work a little bit more in some open space, and I think that's going to help them, and I think it's going to help him. So I would expect that maybe he is going to be able to give you a good performance. Not yesterday. That was incredible. But he's going to be able to, I think, contribute at a higher level given the adjustment that they're going to put Nick Batum in the starting lineup.
I looked for Batum props. I meant to mention that, but there's no props, at least at DraftKings. I got to search for it. I would look for some Batum overs. I think Batum, what he can provide, I think he will, you'll see some usage out of him for sure.
And Will, I asked JVT earlier before we came on, similar question, but I said, are you excited about this game? It's going to be a good one. He said, I don't want to watch.
No.
So there's that. Let's go to the game that we've got coming up tonight. Golden State led the series 3-1 before getting blown out 131-116 the other night. That total went way over, and we have seen this total get adjusted now from 204.5 up to 208 in some places. Golden State also getting bet from 3.5 out to 5.5. Anything stand out to you here?
5.5 does seem a bit rich. I mean, I would expect Golden State to close it out, but I like Houston +3 in the first half. They've been competitive in these first halves, and this has been a trend forever with the Warriors. Play them in the third quarter, play them in the second half, or they just have a different gear. This has been, you know, going on almost a decade now. That's been a pretty profitable trend. So if you like the Warriors, maybe, and I don't like the Warriors with the point, laying the points here, but I think if you do, maybe half your bet on the full game, but save half your bet for halftime and play them on the third quarter or for the second half. I just think if you look at the first couple games here in Golden State, the Rockets led by 7 and they led by 3. So the Warriors have won these second halves pretty decidedly. It's just it should be close, should be ugly, low scoring, close. All those things in the first half would lend you to, you know, taking 3 here. Again, I would worry. Same thing with Denver and Clippers. Every other day now, it's an older team. I know Kerr punted on the game, which I think was the right decision. And he got Curry and Butler and Draymond and all these guys a breather, but This is an older team. This is every other day. The Rockets are much younger. The Rockets still have some advantages in terms of, you know, the size, the physicality. That's the other thing. This is a physical Rockets team that, you know, do you have some concerns that maybe the Warriors are getting beaten down, beaten up here and worn down in this series? So Rockets +3, life on the line. I would pick the Warriors to advance, but I think the 5, 5.5 is too rich.
I know we have another series play for you, but are you of the mindset like I am that whoever it is, Golden State, Houston, are destined for a mollywhopping at the hands of the Timberwolves in the next round?
I just have too much respect for Kerr and Curry, mostly Curry, and throw Butler in there too to go that far. But I think Minnesota would probably beat either one. They'll definitely beat the Rockets. Not definitely. They would very likely beat the Rockets. I think they would probably beat the Warriors. But again, when you got Curry and you got Butler, I'm not going to just completely dismiss them.
What's your feel for the Cavs-Pacers series? Game one, Cavs are an 8.5-point favorite, and they're big favorite in the set.
Fun series. Both these teams play fast. Both these teams can score. It's just, it's tough because it's tough for Indiana because they're so similar. And it's just like Cleveland is, and I'm curious what JVT thinks and what both of you think. It's almost like Cleveland's just a better version of Indiana, which is hard when you're the underdog. You want to change the style, create a mismatch. I just don't know where the mismatches come for Indiana. They'll be able to score. I just think Cleveland outscores them. I think the Indy bench could really struggle defensively. Indy won 3 out of 4 in the regular season, but I don't take too much from that. Some of those games that the Cavs guys didn't even play, those were later in the season when the Cavs had everything wrapped up. So I like Cavs minus 1.5. There's some juice with it. There's -150 at FanDuel, -160 at DraftKings. You're basically saying the Cavs win the series and it doesn't go 7. I have a hard time. I know Indy's become a trendy team here these last couple weeks, and they're good. Maybe I'm underrating them. I have a hard time seeing Indy stretch this to 7. So Cavs minus 1.5. I also saw now the short shot, I like this correct series score. The short shot is Cavs in 5. That's +285. I'm somewhere between Cavs in 5, Cavs in 6. Cavs in 6, if you think they can close them out in Indy, +450, that's not bad bang for your buck. But I think the Cavs roll here. So Cavs minus 1.5, I think, is a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, I laid 1.5 and 2.5 games in this series.
Oh.
So I think that they're capable of ending this pretty quickly. I'm a big Cleveland stan. I have been for a while. And that really impressed me, what they did with Miami. This is a team that can adjust very good offensively in the backcourt. And I think they're going to really push Halliburton, Nembhard, and others defensively.
Well, thanks for this. Appreciate
it's you, again, it's just Cleveland's just a better version of Indy. They play similar. They play fast. Just Cleveland's a better version.
Thanks, Will. See ya.
All right, see you. Thanks for having me. Enjoying the new show. You guys are great together.
Wow. Don't suck up. Relax.
What a guy.
Yeah.
Will Hill. Make sure you check out the Should Have Bet More podcast. You can also follow him on X at not the Will Hill. You agree with that concept, though? That
we're a good show? Basketball. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, shifting gears to a little Major League Baseball, we've got some injury news and some interesting pitchers taking on some bad teams. Oh, also, look out, people. The Rockies are on a heater. We'll be right back.
team money moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Moves Visa and the Sports Betting Network. Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bond, and Tony with you. Very serious question, because this just got thrown at me in the commercial break right before we welcomed back, and I'm very curious our audience's thoughts. So if you have any reaction, please tweet at us, at VSiN Live, at Storm Bond and Tony, at me, JVT. But JVT was just saying that it must be cool to be a girl, that you can do your hair in all these different ways versus you only having like one style that you do all the time.
Very true.
But you get to do your hair so quickly. You've probably got this down to a science. This takes time.
Yeah, I'm sure that our audience that is totally open-minded immediately just heard JVT said he's jealous of, like, the girl, and then is going to totally listen to the point after this. No, like, you come up with different hairstyles every day. I got to do the same thing every day.
But it looks good. It's sharp. It's convenient. You get ready in 2 seconds. It's a whole process to do all this.
Where's my part? I don't even know where my part is. There you go. See? Strong part.
Is it a part or is it like a cowlick?
No, it's a part.
It's a part?
Yeah.
You have to like comb it that way after you get out of the shower kind of thing. Okay.
Well, it's cut that way.
I didn't know there was so much strategy to that. But you guys tell –
you know what they say about assuming.
We're not going to allow to say that word on the radio. Or are we?
You can say ass.
Well, you just did, whether we're allowed to or not. On more serious topics, though, for anybody who missed it earlier in the day, this morning, it was announced officially in San Antonio that legendary head coach Greg Popovich will no longer be coaching the Spurs. And obviously he's had time away from the team anyway, but he will be transitioning full time to team president, according to sources to ESPN and Shams Charania. And with that in mind, you mentioned it in the commercial break as well. No surprise, Mitch Johnson is going to be taking over as the franchise's next head coach.
Yeah, he's 31-45 as the interim coach for San Antonio. Did a pretty good job. You still get the influence of Pop on this roster, so he's going to help build the roster in terms of the vision. I think that they were all really looking forward to here. So it's a win-win. I think it sucks for all of us for the most part. Time, of course, continues to roll on. And a great coach like Greg Popovich, who has done incredible things in the league, won many championships, is now gone by the wayside and will move into a little bit more of a back-end role. But that's really the big takeaway. Look, that's a really big and strong career that is done now for Greg Popovich. So I am somewhat bummed. Popovich is a great coach, but very interested to see, because I think Mitch Johnson did a pretty good job. And I think watching this team be formed in Pop's vision as a team president is going to be pretty interesting as well, because they've done a pretty good job so far. Got our got the Rookie of the Year in Stephon Castle. That is back-to-back Rookie of the Years for the San Antonio Spurs, after obviously Victor Wembanyama won it in his first year too. So you would think that the core is very strong here for San Antonio, and the powers that be still there. So this should be a team to be reckoned with in the next few years.
I was curious, like, is this a team now that, and I know Victor Wembanyama, his season got cut short this year because of the health issues, but because of him and because of what they have started to slowly build, is San Antonio a destination where people want to come?
Oh, I think that's going to be interesting, right? So that's been brought up many times by different people, which is, are people just going to want to play with Victor Wembanyama? I mean, we already saw it one time. De'Aaron Fox allegedly wanted to go play for San Antonio because he wanted to play with Victor Wembanyama. So I would say the short answer is yes. Whether it is in the near future, this offseason, next offseason, or in a few years, for example, one report out there, if Giannis were to be traded,
what?
His favorite team would be San Antonio.
What?
So Wembanyama and Giannis on the floor together would be quite the pairing. We will see if that comes to fruition. You know, there was another report out there that Damian Lillard and the time with Milwaukee, even if, like, had he not gotten hurt, was maybe going to come to an end. That they kind of realized that this wasn't really working out. So I'm going to be, that is the big shoe to drop. If Giannis Antetokounmpo wants out, and then where he wants to go, if he goes to San Antonio, all bets are off.
Lakers fans would be so sad.
Stop. Nobody cares about the Laker fans.
I thought that was freaking hilarious, though, that immediately when the season is over for Giannis, they're talking about next year. Like, get real. Come on.
Yeah, it's absolutely annoying. I mean, as I said with our buddies Dustin and Patrick on their show on Sirius XM, Monday through Friday at 4 o'clock Pacific time.
Look at you.
Yep. I'm on there every Thursday.
Mad Dog.
Yep, Thursday at 6 p.m. every single week. P.m. Pacific time.
That should be your new show voice.
If you're really being serious about this, regardless of how the season ends, Oklahoma City has every asset in the world. I would immediately call Milwaukee and be like, what do you want? I got a lot of draft picks. I got a lot of players. Let's go. Let's make a deal. And then having Shea and Giannis Antetokounmpo play together would be absolutely incredible.
Okay.
A lot of consonants there, too.
I know we were going to talk baseball here, but let's actually save that for a little bit later, because while we got Will Hill's breakdown, I want to stick with the NBA theme and get your thoughts on Warriors-Rockets that we have coming up tonight. I mentioned the line movement. It feels like because the Warriors are a public team and we've seen sharp money on this, we're not having pros versus Joes here. It seems like everybody is on Golden State. And apparently the over as well, which... Do you think this is potentially a little bit too much of an overreaction to what we saw last game? And maybe, I mean, just looking at the first three games of the series, game one was 95-85, game two, 109-94, game three, 104-93. Which version of this game is more real to you? What we saw in the first three games or the last two? I would argue game four and the first three more so than anything else.
Yeah, that's a question, right? Which is, have they started to figure each other out and thus you're getting better offensive showings for both teams in the last few games?
I don't think the Rockets are going to shoot 55% again.
And that is a very good point. And that's what I would lean toward, which is, I don't know if that's going to happen again. Now, is there a reality in which Golden State comes out and blows them out and they carry their weight, much like we saw in that Cavs game against the Miami Heat, and that game eventually gets over the total? Like, that was a massive blowout. I don't think we get that. I mean, that's obviously reality. But I think what's not going to go away, to your point about shooting a high percentage, but you can grab a lot of offensive rebounds, and that's going to be the case here again for the Houston Rockets. They've killed them on the glass, in this series. And so I think that's probably going to be a lot of second-chance opportunities to get this scoring up. But I would still lean a little bit toward the under. I know we talked about that game that went over the, was it game four, I believe it was, that eventually got over the total because we talked about the pace of scoring, how low that total had gotten. But that was buying in at the low water mark at 202.5. Now we're up to that, 207.5? Is that where we're at right now?
Yes, 208? 208 in some places.
So I wouldn't feel as comfortable going over. And I'll say, too, from a side perspective, look, you are now 21-11 against the spread if you're betting on straight-up losers in this postseason. The zigzag has completely worked if you're talking about just straight-up losers. So, and this series has been somewhat strong for that as well. So maybe the Warriors just come out and blow them out. But from a side standpoint, to, again, swing from 4.5 at Golden State in Game 4 to 4 for Houston in Game 5, now 5.5 for Golden State in Game 6. This is a massive swing. I think that number's, again, you call it a play of principle, the number's just too high. So to me, side-wise, I'm more interested, and to me, it is Houston taking that. But we'll see what the market does. I mean, if it gets back up to 6, that's going to be a jump-on point, but I even think 5.5 is still playable here.
That said, are you of the belief, though, that Golden State does still win this game?
Yeah, I think there's a strong chance that they do. You know, you trust a team that has been there before and done that. When you're talking about they having one playoff series, being able to defend. Although I will say, you know, we talk about the adjustments and to use that, you know, the analogy again, the levers that you can pull here. Steve Kerr doesn't really have that many. Udoka does have a few that he can still go to here. And playing those double bigs a little bit more, killing them on the glass, doing those sort of things. I just think this is going to be a tight game. And Curry, this is the other part. I brought this up to Tim and to Scott yesterday. One of the things I think is interesting is Curry's not healthy. That thumb is still really bandaged up. If you remember, the story coming out of the last game was that the Rockets were pawing at it, hitting it. He has not played well the last few games. What if he's hurt? What if he's really feeling this thumb and he's not going to be able to give you what you need to potentially win and cover this game? I'm going to be very curious to see what you get from Steph Curry, but I would lean towards some unders for Steph just because I think there's a reality where he's just not healthy and that thumb is really bothering him.
He was the lead scorer for the Warriors the first three games of the series, 20-plus points in each, 230 pieces, then had 17 in game four. And game five, it's kind of a throwaway because he only plays 23 minutes, but still, like, didn't do much in the minutes that he did have. So with his prop tonight sitting at 25.5, is that kind of a number that you stay away from on one side or the other? Just because there's, from the mentality standpoint, yes, it's the final, potentially the final game of a series. It's a closeout. If this is the most important game, we need our most important player to have the ball in his hands consistently and taking shots, whether he's hurting on his thumb or not. But then if the thumb is hurting him to an extent, do you want to stay off of it? So how do you feel?
Or do you go, I'm thinking out loud here, do you go over on three-point attempt or three-point makes because you run your offense through Jimmy Butler and you give Curry more catch-and-shoot attempts as opposed to having him handle, having him bang a little bit more and actually playing him more in that off-ball role and letting him get catch-and-shoot attempts as opposed to, right?
So is the number maybe too high, though, 4.5?
It's a big one, but I think the volume is going to be there.
Plus 120 to the over, so you are getting – they are giving you a little bit of a payback for it.
If a vast majority of your shots are going to come from beyond the arc and it is Steph Curry – I mean, that's going to be – I mean, you mentioned it. So 23 minutes in the last game, he still put up 9 three-point attempts, and he made 3 of them.
Okay. I think I'm going to be on the under in this game as a whole. I didn't play any of the props, but the Steph conversation, I think, was warranted. And by the way, if you're trying to get involved on this NBA postseason action, the NHL, lots of different things, no better time than the playoffs to check out all the Sharp Plays at sharpplays.com, where real bettors go to get ahead. Since 2011, Sharp Plays been locked in on what real pros are betting, bets that are actually moving markets. And when you sign up, you can gain access to not only the plays, but Sharp Plays powerful AI tools and betting reports, real-time alerts, updates, and more via email or X. But perhaps most importantly, they've got betting logs live and available every day on the site. Don't take our word for it. Check the receipts when you head over to sharpplays.com. We're going to take a quick timeout. I promise you, we will talk baseball coming up in hour two. We also still to come have Mike Palm of Circa Resort and Casino. Lots upon us, hour two of Money Moves.